The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, how are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement and I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. It is a lovely grand morning this morning, driving up from Port McGee. It was like a Caravaggio painting. The sky was absolutely stunning. There's kind of these rays just coming through the clouds. It is a glorious morning to be alive and like I said, I hope I find you well and I hope you're going to enjoy our programme this morning. If you want to get in touch with us during the programme, you can call Dervla on 066 712 3666. You can text the WhatsApp 083 300 3300. Now, on the programme this morning, we'll hear from people who've been involved in the community-based programme STEPS, and STEPS is Steps Towards Excellence and Personal Success. We'll hear a special short documentary by John Davis on Dee Keogh, a native of Dublin, who now resides in Ballybunion and is well known through her work as a community development officer with NEWKD and as a life coach and motivational speaker. And we'll hear the wonderful story behind the Dingle Way Challenge and another episode of Words Matter, as well as Voices of the Future in Kerry. And I'm trying not to cough, but I'm getting through it all right so far. So you can call us at 066 712 3666. Text 083 300 3300. Now, I mentioned that we're going to hear a very special programme, a special documentary called Razzle Dazzle Till D-Day. And its producer joins me in studio now, John Davis. And John is a former student of mine. John, you're very welcome. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Joe, and thanks for having me on. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah, so tell us about this short documentary. I've listened to it a few times now, and I think it's absolutely excellent, and I can't get over how much you've put into it and the production and everything else. But go on, tell us what it involves.
So I know you know as one of my mentors and yourself, and Connie Broderick, another mentor on the programme, will appreciate. It came about as an idea for end of year assignments, and I was trying to think what would I do, and it hit me straight away. This had to be covered. You talk about getting a story that will captivate, and this particular lady Dee and her entourage just will captivate you, and I wanted to try and capture those moments. But it was serendipitous, because when I had put out the proposal to yourself and Connie, as I'm walking through Garvey's here in Tralee and I hadn't seen Dee Keogh in months, Dee walks in front of me and I just said, right, I can't believe this. I went over and I tapped her on the shoulder and I told her about the proposal. And it's that instant reply of, oh, of course I will, no problem, drive on. Jeez. And it took a life from there. And after that, it's been a eureka moment time after time after time. So many things have popped up and new opportunities out of that, believe it or not, Joe.
Mm. So, and the overall premise of the programme?
It was to try and capture the movement of STEPS, right? STEPS is a community in and of itself. And the driving force behind it, who is DQ and NEWKD, who are facilitators of this programme, and maybe to try and encourage other people to come on that programme and take advantage of, you know, finding a little bit about yourself, your goal setting, motivation, and a little bit of self-efficacy, and really finding yourself and what your talents are.
Mm. You did it yourself, and what did it do for you?
Absolutely phenomenal. You think you've seen it all, and you're you know, you can't learn anymore, and you start to do a lot of introspection. You find out a lot of bit more about yourself, and sometimes those little negative thoughts that niggle at you realise 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, they're gone, drive on. Let's turn that from an ant, an automatic negative thought, into a pet, a positive motivational thought, where you're trying to get right the best out of what you want to be. And it's a lot about manifestation, but manifestation is not just creating something out of the air. It's really about passion and commitment. How committed are you to doing a project? This project as well, I would say, is about commitment, because, as you say, the editing, the hours that we need, your help and Connie's help, when you're trying to get it over the line to make it something special. But I think most of all, I was hopeful that Dee would like it. And to see her reaction when I got her to hear it the first time was phenomenal.
Well, we'll find out. Did she like it? For sure. We'll hear from Dee later on. We'll also be hearing from other people that did the STEPS programme as well. But first, we're going to listen to the first part of Razzle Dazzle Till D-Day.
My name is Dee, so don't forget it. And I'm running a festa, filled down in Kerry, and I'm trying to get you a spot if you're lucky, because there's some of the best talent in the country.
I'm in the beautiful seaside town of Ballybunion, the adopted home of DQ, writer, actor, coach and motivational speaker. When I first met Dee, it was all razzle-dazzle. But what exactly is the Razz?
The science behind the Razz is white table, they call it. What you think about, you bring about. So in other words, it brings the dominant thought process that's in your head. So therefore, it is so important to have positive thoughts in your head, because you'll start then creating a good day. So if you want your life to change, you've got to change it from inside. So you got to turn on your Razz.
Why I Haven't Met Oprah Yet is the title of Dee's show. And as I would learn, the emphasis is most certainly on the word yet, as she invites us to journey with her to meet her media idol, Oprah Winfrey.
I grew up in a cul-de-sac. The neighbourhood was exactly that, the cul-de-sac. There was 94 children on the road. How I know that is, when we used to go to bed at night, we used to count everybody on the road to go asleep. You know the way people would count sheep? We'd count everybody who lived on our road. We played football from morning till night. We played tennis in the summer, and we all got our names, like Chrissy Ever, John Lloyd, John McEnroe. We played constantly. My world was that cul-de-sac till I was about possibly 12 or 13, I'd say. I was a swimmer. So I loved Shane Gold. She was the Australian swimmer. And Mark Spitz won 7 gold medals. And Steve Genter, he had only one lung, and he got the silver medals to all Mark Spitz medals. So I suppose I was into sport and into swimming and football. I loved football. So they were kind of my role models, and I played a lot of sport. They were the best in their field. I think it's people who stand out. If I was to reflect now, I would know my mom was a great role model, but I always wanted to travel, go to Africa. I always wanted to help people. As I got older, I wanted to be involved in some kind of community work or social work. That was always at the back of my mind, because I was involved in clubs, basketball, the youth club. I was a youth leader. When I went to Canada when I was only 16, I was kind of wide open then of another world. As I said, I had quite an insular life in the cul-de-sac where I lived, and I'd go to school or I'd go swimming. I saved up. I worked as a lounge girl, and it just opened up my world. I kind of saw that the world was bigger. So travel would have been important to me. I saved up then when I was 18, and I went to Spain, and I always saved and traveled. I started off as a lifeguard in Dublin Corporation. I used to teach swimming. I used to play water polo. In those days, not everybody went to college, and I just wanted to be out the gap. But I went back up to the nun I went to school with, and I asked her, could I do my leave and cert again? I realised I wanted to go to college. But at that time, then I got an opportunity, because I was married by then. I lived in Tala. I was married very young, and I lived in Tala. And there was a programme out for young teenagers that had been involved in joyriding. And they set up these community training workshops. And I got a job. I was going to go there to do voluntary work. And I just got this opportunity. I was only 25 to go in and teach swimming and lifeguard. So I got, everybody in Tala has all their elementary intermediate awards for life saving. That's how I started out in this kind of work, in the kind of social care work. The Young Mothers program that I started in Tala, I always was looking for more in my work, and I was working with for FOSS, and I was working with young mothers. They used to have to come into FOSS 5 days a week, and they used to have to leave their children at home. And I had heard of an organization in Tala called En Casan, and that was a kind of like a three-pronged approach. They gave childcare, they gave education, and then they offered counseling. And it wasn't only childcare, it was early learning for the parents' children, that education eradicated poverty. Now, I didn't know any of this as I was writing a program, and I went and visited En Casan. I told them that I had a group of young mothers. Could we do a program? So I piloted a program. It was in early 2000, and I'm proud to say that program is still running today. Now, not just with me, but it was an idea that I had. You wouldn't see the fruits of that until maybe the next generation. And I'm still friends with some of those young mothers are in their 40s now, and they got back into education, and their children got back into education. What I've learned about myself is that I always believe that there's so much more that inside us. I was going to say even that there's so much more we can do. I always have believed that. But I believe that we're capable of so much. So that makes me even at the age I am now, I still nearly could say I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I've learned that I learn one skill, it can also learn another and another. And that pleases me greatly, particularly in the latter stages of my life now.
So who inspires DQ?
I would have to say my mother and my son. He probably won't even believe that. And my mother, for really interesting reasons. I may have, not may have, I would have taken her for granted over the years, as we do. So I would be reading about, you know, maybe spirituality or maybe trying the latest self-help book or the latest hack of your brain. And I realized that my mother had that naturally. And it's in her presence, in her way. And, you know, there's a thing, I think it's called desiderata, and it goes through a whole list of things. The word vexation, she would never be loud, or I have never heard her speak ill of anybody. But she would really be, she'd be a really quiet, unsung hero for me. And my son has this capacity. He has inherited a lot of what I have. He would be much quieter, and he'd be very private, and he'd be very articulate. He does a lot of things that I don't know about and I don't find out about till after. But yeah, it's his unassuming confidence. Actually, he'd be like my mother. He'd have that quietness about him, and he'd be very academic, which I'm not. I have to say, finding AA has been the greatest gift, of course, after my son, but there's no question about it. And the hardship and challenge that shaped me today is that I'm in recovery from alcohol 30 years. And that has been, it was a curse up till then, obviously. But they say, you know, your curse is your gift as well. And it has been my gift, my struggle to be who I was. And because I had grew up kind of quite closed, as in I didn't realize the importance of sharing how you felt. It was kind of as I was the family hero. So I played the hero for a long time and never really attended to my inner world, you know. So it has been a great gift to me. A real aha moment when I started teaching a program called Steps to Excellence and Personal Success. And because I got interested in education, particularly when I got into recovery, I trained as an addiction counselor and then I trained as a psychotherapist. And I read every book going and I went to every workshop going. I didn't realize it. There was a little bit of arrogance coming into me because I had heard about this Steps program that came from America, and it was a 3-day course and it would reframe how you think. And I went, oh my God, there's more American drizzle, like that judgment. I'll never forget that. And I remember where I did the course. It was 11 years ago in Castle Island, and my mind was blown open from it. And from that time, I embraced everything I learned. So my life has changed almost to 360 in my thinking. I might look the same, but I try things much easier, and I say yes first because I know my initial would be I'd procrastinate, and I know how my brain works. It would tell me all the reasons why not to. Sure, what have you got to say?
You say
who'd want to listen to you?
Yeah, must have been John are talking away about this wonderful documentary here in the background. And that is the first part of Razzle Dazzle Till D-Day. We're going to go to a break and we'll hear the second part after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
Yes, and at the moment we're listening to Razzle Dazzle Till D-Day, a documentary narrated and produced by John Davis, a former student of journalism, podcasting, radio course at Kerry College. And this piece is an endeavour to capture and archive the professional and personal pursuits of one DQ. And we'll be hearing from D a little later on, along with Mary Ganey. And also we'll be hearing from Aidan Lucid as well. But we'll return to the second part of that now.
One disciple of Steps is Ballyhaig native and award-winning writer Aidan Lucid.
I originally came across the Steps program in February 2023. Dee ran the program and she actually made it really, really interesting. And she didn't deliver it in such a way that she was only there doing a job. She delivered it with passion and with love, and I think a lot of enthusiasm. And I think that's what made people go back, because it showed that she was genuine and that she cared. And she made it very, very interesting, and she is very funny as well. So she made it, you know, humorous too, as well as being serious. With steps, it just doesn't affect one area. It affects your whole life. And it does definitely affect your confidence, and it gives you the confidence to try new things. Whereas, like, before, you know, I did steps and I've been reluctant to do certain things. But with steps, it actually encourages you to take that step, excuse the pun, and it encourages you to move forward, to keep going. And it really did change my thought patterns, because it made me more positive. And, you know, it made me stop myself going back into all negative thinking patterns.
Things I fear the most difficult that I have met, have been the most liberating. Even to know I could write, or know I could act, or know I could put a show on. It's changed my life and me as a person. I went to America and I thought, I got a different response. It was just, I felt it, I felt flat. And I had to go in deeper into myself. And when I went in deeper into myself, I realized actually, yeah, okay. What could you do about it? And how could you change that? And as a result, I went to acting classes in Dublin with this guy, Terry McMahon, and that blew me open. Even though I was nervous, I had to make a tape, like a videotape of a duologue and a monologue, and it opened me up. So when failure happens for me, I go, I wonder what I have to learn here. Because that's actually where I learn most, because I will be really diligent in relation to how I move forward. Never giving up and give it a go. Like, I can look back on the whole writing of my show and it looks like I haven't met Oprah yet. On the external, it looks like it's a failure, and it has been the making of me. Like, I'm moving into my 60th year, 62 now, and I have more energy than I had when I was 40. Kindness is a superpower. My mother would say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. On top of kindness would be not to judge a book by its cover. I love meeting people, and I love not knowing, particularly in the fellowship. You just meet incredible, you don't know who you could be sitting beside, but we're all equal, we're all the same. So that's been I meet you as I find you, would be what I'd say. Well, I went to America, and it was the first time I ever played in a venue that wasn't a theatre. So people were talking. I couldn't believe it. I kept saying, oh my God. Now remember, I'm a novice actor. So I got very thrown, and some of my text was very Irish. So I hadn't really looked at that. I thought about it and I thought I'd expanded it. So when I came back, I went through the whole script with a fine tooth comb, and spoke it out and learned it. And then I got some help. That I met Terry McMahon, and I did his course in acting, and I realized in some of the scenes I was overacting. I was acting at acting. So I worked on it. I workshopped it. I got in the help of Mary Gainey, and she brought her son up to have a look at it. And they did small little tweaks to it, and I felt really confident. And the most confident thing I felt was all I had to do was show up and perform. I normally am running everything. So Mary, my director, she took care of everything, the props, and everybody else came along. So I was really focused. So more and more practice and practice, refining, refining, refining.
My name is Mary Gainey. I'm originally from Limerick. We ran our own drama and theatre where we came from, in Knockaderry, West Limerick. And I did a director's course as kind of a bucket list take off. And I was trying to get to know people when I came to Tralee. They advertised a writing course at the Kerry Women's Centre, and I applied for it because something I always wanted to do. And in doing that, I ran into Deco. We clicked and we talked about drama a lot. And then the Women's Centre needed fundraising, and DB&D, she just got the wheels rolling, asked me to help, and I'm helping her direct her one-woman show. You can't miss this play, it's brilliant, and it is thoughtful and mind-blowing, and even listening to it with rehearsals here has helped me achieve a few things I've been trying to do in my own life. It's a powerful play.
Here in Oprah, we're the land of chancers and scholars. Come on over here. You're not short of a few dollars. Me old flower.
Sorry about that, Oprah. I'm
spitting. Welcome to the DQ Show. Hi.
Yeah, that is Razzle Dazzle Till D-Day, produced by John Davis. And, of course, John is a former student of journalism, podcasting, radio course at Kerry College. And we're going to be listening to the protagonists involved. We're going to be listening to DKO, Aidan, Lucid and Mary Ganey and John himself after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney, serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
Yeah, get in touch with us 066-712-3666. Dervil is taking your calls. You can text WhatsApp on 083-300-3300. We just heard Razzle Dazzle Till D-Day, a documentary narrated and produced by John Davis, and the piece was an endeavour to capture and archive the professional and personal pursuits of DKO. And DKO joins us in studio now, along with Aidan Lucid and Mary Ganey. And by way of an introduction, I'm just going to briefly describe who we have in studio. So I mentioned Dee is a native of Dublin. You heard there from the documentary, resides in Ballybunion and is well known to her work as community development officer with NEWKD. She's also a life coach and motivational speaker who's brought positive and life-affirming change to people's lives through her facilitation of many community-based programs, including STEPS. And we were hearing there, STEPS is Steps Towards Excellence and Personal Success. And lots more as well, I should say. But like I said, I'll be going on for the morning if I go into that. And also we've Aidan Lucid, who is a native of Ballyhaig. He was a participant on the STEPS course facilitated by Dee. And we heard in the documentary there, he talking about his experience of that. He possesses a passion for writing and embarked on his writing journey in 2002. And his short stories, poems and articles found homes in both local and international anthologies and magazines. Having been traditionally published twice, Aidan chose to venture into self-publishing in 2022. And this decision bore fruit as four of his books received awards, namely The Lost Son. The second edition earned a Silver Titan Literary Award in July 2023. And A Beast Within earned a Gold Titan Literacy Award in April 24 for excellence in storytelling and character development. And if that wasn't enough, we also have Mary Ganey. And Mary hails from Limerick, as you heard in the documentary, but in recent years she has made Kerry her home. She has an extensive background in theatre, with her directorial talents being of great assistance to Dee as they collaborated to fine-tune the theatre experience. That is why I haven't met Oprah yet. We have to find out about all this and find the Oprah. And I think, you know what, I think Dee is manifesting this into reality. I think she's going to meet Oprah. But anyway, Mary dedicates her time and expertise to collective efforts to raise funds for the Women's Centre, who provide essential services for the women of Tralee and the surrounding areas. And Mary also undertook the STEPS programme. You're all very welcome.
Thank you.
How are you all doing this morning? Are you good?
Great, thank you.
That's good. John, firstly, you were saying there during the break, that's a bucket list ticked off. The documentary aired on Radio Kerry on broadcast.
I'd say quietly about 30-odd years in the making.
Really?
I kid you not.
Yeah.
You'd know I had a passion for radio since I was a teenager. I grew up in Clonmel.
Yeah.
And Vincent Hanley hailed from there. And people might remember Vincent. Vincent was Fab Vinny back in the 1980s. And he produced our program, believe it or not, called MTUSA on the Sundays. And every Sunday I tuned in to hear Vincent Hanley. Because not only is he from Tip, but he was just an icon, a great radio. And I wanted to be just like him. And I remember growing up, later teenagers, practicing my best friend's house here in Tralee. My intros and my outros to Michael Hutchins, trying to be like Vincent Hanley, thinking I'd be the next Vincent Hanley. But it never happened. I went into public service about 30-odd years. But when the opportunity came to rise last year, I grabbed it with both hands, in of course to the Journalism Podcasting Radio, run by yourself and Connie, Kerry College and Radio Kerry. And I haven't looked back. It's been just to create bits of pieces for radio, to entertain people. You know, radio is theatre of the mind, but part of that, to produce something so meaningful and have wonderful collaborators and contributors. It's just, as you say, it's ticked the bucket list.
Yeah. Dee, is that what the STEPS programme is all about? Is John the embodiment of it there?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But what you've just reminded me of, John, it's funny, you're 30 years and you've achieved your bucket list dream. I used to sing into the hairbrush and the carpet sweeper, and I used to introduce everybody. But even in my 20s, I used to call myself Dee Dee Winfrey. I'm only after remembering that now. And at weddings, at the end of the wedding, I'd have a microphone. In those days, you know, they'd have the big video, you know, the be huge. And I'd go around and I'd say, have you any, I'd say, welcome to the wedding of Emer and John. And this is Dee Dee Winfrey live. And then I'd go, have you any tips for the happy couple, you know? And I'd go around asking, and it would go on to their wedding video. I had forgotten about that. So I am realizing, we don't realize what we're doing when we're in that free place in ourselves, in our mind, where we're not inhibited, because fear saps passion out of us.
Yeah.
And sometimes we live and doubt. And so the steps for me, because I had been, I mean, thank you very much for the documentary, it's a privilege. But I had lived the steps, but I had no language for it.
Okay.
And I think most of us do. So it's not rocket science what you learn. But you realise when you can name something, you can claim it. And as a result of doing the steps, like I was cynical at the start, but I am so passionate about it. I was born to do it.
Yeah.
And I have so many beautiful stories of happenings. But I always remember one participant saying, Dee, the steps didn't change my life. The steps saved my life. And I've never forgotten her from that, you know?
Yeah.
And I would run it. I've now a renewed passion to keep doing it and doing it, because technically it's not my job as such.
Yeah.
I only need to see clients once. But in the steps, you create a community and you have a tribe. And that's why the joy of meeting John that morning when he asked me, I was on my way to a group and I had to get scones and stuff, and I bumped in and he said, will you do it? Yes.
Yeah.
Because you don't think and you just know it's the right time.
Yeah.
And there's so many opportunities for us to say yes.
Yeah. And but I suppose, you know, a lot of us can get stuck in a rut too, and, you know, it's just routine in life, and if you're family life, you're doing the same thing day in, day out. Sometimes people need a shock or something to happen for them to reset their life or to think or to make that first step to do something like that. Like COVID was a great example of people trying new things all of a sudden because they had a time to think. But it's that first step, I suppose, the most important thing, is it?
That's it. And I wrote my show during COVID, just before COVID. And I booked a theatre in St. John's. And when COVID happened, I went, oh, thank God, I don't have to do it now. Because I did one step and then I was kind of hoping they wouldn't open. Because I had done the piece, and then we're hardwired for comfort.
Yes.
So even now with this new, with Oprah actually is coming.
Yeah.
You know, to Ireland.
Yeah,
Dublin.
That's what I was saying when I heard that. I was thinking,
and there's a part of me going, God, I wish she had told me, because it's in the script, you see. So in some way I'm creating it, but at least I've got 3 months to get ready, because I will meet her. Now, my sister has bought 4 tickets. We're in row 8. We have the tickets. But that's not what I want. I want to actually go on before her. And I want to do the warm-up. I'm serious. I want to do the warm-up. Yeah. Because anyone that'll be there will be Oprah heads like me.
Yeah.
So they'll all want... Because when I saw that Oprah was coming to Kerry, it was everyone are coming. See, she must be. That's a Freudian subconscious.
She's Dublin, isn't it? She's going to one of the big arenas there.
Anyway, it's just about... So what I've to do now is I've got to turn it on now and keep going for the next 3 months. So I'm going to put a proposal to Radio Kerry and say, are you bringing me? I'm giving you first refusal on me. Then I'm going to the Nationals.
Yeah.
And then we're going, you know, and we have enough. We have enough clout here in Kerry. I mean, even how the Rosa Tralee came about, that's a phenomenal story. Mm-hmm. A group of people with an idea in 1959, I think it was, the early 60s maybe. And then they have this phenomenal global event.
What is it about Oprah?
I think it is that... See, I used to go around saying I have a job like Oprah, except for I don't have her money.
Yeah.
And what I mean by I have a job like Oprah, when you get to witness... people transform and change their lives from not knowing what they could achieve. I mean, that would have been part of my work in the Equality for Women measure. We got women back into education and training, and the richness in those groups were phenomenal. Yeah. So it's kind of, I used to have this identity with Oprah, but I also have an identity with her in, like, I can relate to, I'm into Happy Ever After, you know, poor girl turns, you know, all that sort of stuff, you know, all dogs go to heaven. But more importantly, at a deep level, I believe that the Oprah, my show, people got more excited for me that Oprah was coming. They said, you have to go, you have to go. So it's kind of to create a platform whereby yes, we can, people. That's why there's a load of step people now around and they just go, yes, how can I help you?
Yeah.
And we do the worrying after. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think there's a movie in this. It'll be a happy ever after. Mary, so how did you, how did it come about that you did the steps program?
Well, actually, I did things in reverse, you know, the way usually you do theory first and then practice.
Yes.
But I didn't know anything about the steps. I was looking for something to do when I came to Kerry, and I did a creative writing course, and that opened me to the Kerry Women's Centre. And I ran into Dee in the office one day, and when she heard that, she asked, you know, what used you do? And I'd say, well, I love drama. And then she just, that's kind of how it started. So then she was doing the Oprah show and she asked me to help. And so I saw the steps in practice.
Yeah.
She then coaxed me to go. She didn't need to coax.
Yeah.
I started the steps course, the theory of it, in September. But she embodies steps.
Yeah.
And she's
definitely
a motivator.
Yeah.
She's positive. Nothing is, there is no such thing as obstacles. You just get around them, you move on.
You practice what you preach. Yeah.
And that's what she does.
Yeah.
So that's how I got involved.
And how? Tell us about the Oprah play then. What was that like?
I was very nervous.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if I knew enough to do it with her. But that's why I got my son down one weekend, just to say, are we doing it the right way? But I mean, it was a wonderful story to listen to from the stage.
Yeah.
And we didn't have an awful lot to do, really. It was just to keep Dee on the stage and let her just take care of the acting and the producing what she wanted to give to the audience, and taking care of the, I had to take care of the surrounding things then.
Yeah.
And tweak it here and there, but there was very little to do. But she actually, because I did that, I did a directing course years ago, well, not maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but I've been involved in amateur drama all my life.
Yeah.
But never had, you know, any training per se. And even when I did the director's course, I still had this thing of, look, I know I've the director's course done, but I probably wouldn't be able to do that. And but Dee had the faith in me, and she said, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Just do it. And
so you have this little voice back here, and Dee's voice comes in to battle it, basically.
Oh, yeah. It's the attitude to your own ability.
Mm.
And it's usually fear and doubt. And for me, it's I have an exclusive thing called guilt for some reason.
Yeah.
And I left them rule things for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And steps kind of taught me that, self-thought can teach you your own worth. And once you can get that into your head, that what you've been told about yourself is only what you were told.
Yes.
It's not true.
Yeah.
And a belief isn't a truth. So you can actually, the way you can work on your muscles in the gym, you can work on your thought process.
Yeah.
And the more flowers you plant.
Yeah.
The less room there'll be there for seeds, for weeds.
Yeah, that's wonderfully articulated. Yeah.
Positivity and say, yes, I can do it.
Yeah, we're brilliant. We're also joined by Aidan. Aidan, tell us about your journey into the Steps programme and what you got out of it.
Well, I first came across the Steps programme, I think it was back in early 2023.
Yeah.
I saw an advertisement in, I think it was, the Trinity Advertiser. And, excuse me, it's just the way it was worded. It was just something that kind of clicked inside of me and said, yeah, I need to do this, right? So I went anyway, and like I said in the piece done with John there, usually when you go to these kind of workshops, you know, sort of things, you're pumped up while you're there, but then when you leave, you're deflated.
Yeah.
But like with the Steps wrong, you're just pumped up all day. It was like after drinking, you know, a couple of cans of Red Bull.
Like, you
know,
like, you said Red Bull, yeah.
You're just, you know, no, but seriously, that's the beauty of this thing. And it does make you stop and think. And it makes you realize that, you know, certain negative thoughts were holding you back. And how to overcome those negative thoughts and how to, proper steps, excuse me, and how to overcome those and how to take action and do what you want to do and not let fear stand in the way.
Yeah, because I'd imagine, like, you know, when you do any course, it's like the first week after you're graded, you're buzzing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like it gives you the tools to keep it going.
Yeah.
That you're empowered almost yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's just the way it dephrases things and the way she puts the whole workshop together, it just stays with you. And, like, you know, I think it was about 3 years later after doing the course, when I find myself, you know, thinking a certain way, I stop myself straight away and I say, no, I'm not going down that road, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, it does stay with you. And, it's not one of those things where you read it once and you forget it, or you attend it once, or you attend it, you know, a couple of weeks and you forget it. It stays with you the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of this thing. It really does reframe your way of thinking. And it gives you a whole kind of new purpose in life.
Yeah, excellent. Stay with us. We're going to go to break and we'll hear more from Aidan, Mary, Dee and John after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across the county. Serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
Yeah, earlier in the programme we listened to Razzle Dazzle Till D-Day, and that was a short documentary produced and narrated by John Davis, and the piece was an endeavour to capture an archive of the professional personal pursuits of Dee Keogh. And Dee is behind the Steps programme. We're talking about that this morning. And we also have people that were involved in it. Steps means steps towards excellence and personal success. We have John Davis in studio with us. We've Mary Ganey and we've Aidan Lucid. Mary, you just finished another drama, didn't you? Or your involvement?
We did, yeah.
What was that?
It was Memory of Water. We put it on at St. John's in Listowel. It was an idea we came up with introducing drama into the women's group, and none of them had ever acted.
Yeah.
So we just tried out a little thing before Christmas and got them all on the stage, and it was amazing what came out of it.
Yeah.
Huge amount of talent. And so Dee, in her Steps way, said, okay, let's put it on in St. John's in Listowel. And we did. And we filled the house for two nights, and it was for three reasons. It was for fun, fundraising and freedom. And we certainly had fun. And we raised a nice bit of money for the Women's Centre, who does that does so much work here.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not sure everybody knows.
Yeah.
And freedom was freedom of expression for the people who went on stage.
Yeah, excellent. Why I Haven't Met Oprah Yet was the play. Dee, if you did meet Oprah, what would you do? You'd lose your life first off, I'd say, but what would you do?
What would I do? Well, I'd love to meet her in September.
Yeah.
And I'd love to kind of be the warm-up act before she comes on.
Yeah.
And I'm able to cut my show, and I've even written an extra monologue about what happened when I heard she came.
Yeah.
She was on the way. So I'd love to sit down with her on the sofa and be in conversation. But more importantly, I still would love to bring her to Kerry.
Yeah.
And I even have that planned in Ballybunion on the beach. I want Fiona O'Callaghan out of the Cliff House to put the white covers on the chairs and for Oprah to arrive in on the Castle Green in her helicopter.
Yeah.
And we have our dogs all minded and looked after. We will give her a Kerry welcome.
Well, there you are. No, there's the pitch. We're going to clip that and tag Oprah on it. If people want to avail of your books, where can they go?
They can get some of them in Qualimats in Philly, and they can also get them in Costcutters and Gwyddehaig.
Yeah.
But if they want to go online, they can get them on Amazon, or they can even get my own website as well, which is aidanlucidauthor.com.
Excellent. What are you up to at the moment?
At the moment, I'm working on the last book of a young adult horror series, and I'm hoping to release that book in November.
Yeah, so. Excellent. Well, you know where I am now in November when it's coming out. I'd be interested in see how it turns out.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have you on to talk about it. Halloween time, is that the kind of...
Yeah, clever.
John, before we finish up, and I want to ask Dee, you know, where people can go for more information if they were inspired here this morning. I was saying, you're all kind of an embodiment of it. You're all kind of examples of it. You don't need to say, oh, this is what the programme is about. Just talk to yourselves, really.
Yeah, and for me, it's kind of, you know, if you say something, I can't do something, just put the word yet behind it. And it's a powerful way of looking at something. So if you say, I can't drive a car, I can't drive a car yet.
Yet.
And keep on with that. Your commitment and your passion will bring you on. But just the power of yet. Become a Yeti.
Yeah, go Yeti. That's brilliant. And that's the theme of the programme, Words, because we will have our Words Matter series, which John, by pure coincidence, is narrating in the second hour. I always say to people, ignore everything before the word but. You might get a compliment, then you hear a but behind it. You're yeah. like, yeah. But that's more negative slant in it. Dee, if people now were listening this morning and they said, you know what, I need something like this, but, you know, I'm a bit hesitant. Well, what would you advise them and where can they go?
Well, NEWKD have offices in Listowel, Tralee, Castle Island and Dingle. And I will be running the courses in all our offices, in all our areas. In September, I'm in Tralee and I'll be in Ballybunion in September as well. I'll be starting a new course and in Listowel. So just get in touch with our website, NEWKD, or you can get in touch with me. Like, I'm out there on social media and that. And I can enrol you.
Yeah, you might be in Hollywood in September, so we want
that's
to
true.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Be snapped up. Lads, it was an absolute pleasure. DQ, Mary Ganey, Aidan Lucid, and of course our own John Davis. Thanks a million for you all coming in this morning, telling your stories. You did a great job. Now we're going to take a break. We'll have the news at 10, and then in the next hour we've lots more to come. We have some wonderful short pieces for you, and we're also going to be hearing about the Dingle Way Challenge as well.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by the new family fish box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars. Packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
That's what you're listening to, and soon we'll be hearing a few short feature pieces. We'll hear the wonderful story behind the Dingle Way Challenge. We'll have another episode of Words Matter as well as Voices of the Future in Kerry. And you heard about the rising temperatures there, and I hope that sea fog that I was talking about clears off and we have a good few days of sunshine. We could well do with it now, couldn't we? Places are sopping. And we have our theme for our photography slot in focus with Dominic Walsh. It is summertime in Kerry, so hopefully, over the next few days, you'll have those summery photos. But like I said, summertime in Kerry does have rain in it as well. We have, of course, the big match, Kerry-Donegal. Maybe it could be something themed along that. And as always, Radio Kerry will be bringing you some fantastic live coverage from that, as well as all other sport through your weekend. So you can email your photos to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. That's jmcgill@radiokerry.ie before midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month. And you would have heard of the sad news of the passing of legendary Shana Key and founder of the Sneem Storytelling Festival, Bat Burns, who passed away during the week. He grew up in the South Kerry village with his grandparents, who introduced him to the craft of storytelling. And he also performed at the Kennedy Centre for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C. on St. Patrick's Day in 2002. He was a retired teacher and he won the Storytelling World Award in 2010, and in 2012 he established the Sneem International Storytelling and Folklore Festival, which now attracts tourists from across the world. And he was also prominent in GA figures, and Bat won the FEXCO Kerry Hero Award on Radio Kerry in 2022. And I interviewed him a good few years ago now in the Sea Lodge in Waterville for In Conversation when I was doing it that time. And I have to say, very charismatic man. And he had a great way of speaking, and obviously he was, a master of the art of storytelling, of being Shana Key. And when people mention storytellers in Kerry, they talk about Eamon Kelly and they talk about Bat Burns. And our sympathies goes out to his family and his friends and neighbours. And he is arriving to the church and 10:30 this morning, St. Michael's Church, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass. And it is going to be live streamed as well, and followed by burial in his beloved Sneem. So like I said, may he rest in peace. Now, if you want to get in touch with the programme, there, let's take your calls on 066-712-3666. You can text the WhatsApp 083-300-3300. Now, we're going to hear episode 6 of Voices of the Future in Kerry, and it continues the conversation around young people and mental health as Shona O'Sullivan explores the impact of online life and the supports helping young people navigate it today.
This documentary was produced by Connie Broderick and Joe McGill and is funded by Comisión na Mban with the television licence fee.
Your day is not our day. It's different. And I don't think anyone was prepared for how different it could be.
The environment's central to our lives anyway. With social media and everything, the news always going on about climate change, you can't really not be interested in it.
We deserve to have our opinions heard on decisions that affect us, not just when we're grown up and have the right to vote, but now.
This is Voices of the Future in Kerry. The youth of today shaping tomorrow. My name is Shona O'Sullivan. In the last episode of Voices of the Future, I spoke about what it feels like to grow up behind the selfie. The pressure, the comparison, and the impact of online life on young people. In this episode, I want to look at what happens beyond the screen, what adults working with young people are noticing, and what actually helps when it comes to mental health. To explore this, I'm joined by two senior youth officers from Faroga, Anthony O'Connor from the Go Safely team and Fiona O'Sullivan from Kerry West UBU. They work closely with young people and families around online safety and wellbeing.
Online safety and the safety of young people in general is of paramount priority for Faroga, and specifically too in relation to the Connect Safely program, which teaches young people how to stay safe online and how to be positive digital citizens. So we're already doing that work through our programs in the 12 to 18 year olds and the 8 to 11s programs. We also recognize the needs for parents and guardians too, and the research would back this up as well too. In fact, and back in September, there was a recent report by Cyber Safe Kids, and that showed that 42% of 8 to 12 year olds and 62% of 12 to 14 year olds don't talk about their online activity with their parents and guardians. So the goal is to kind of close that gap in communication and kind of create those kind of open conversations that happen between parents, guardians and young people.
What were the main topics you focused on for parents and guardians?
In talking to the kind of parents, they're really talking about how to support a young person who's 13 and is about to get their first device that connects to the internet, or they're about to get a social media account, and how parents can support their young people on that journey, and how parents and guardians can be supported as well in terms of what to watch out for when a young person does have a smartphone for the first time. And they're also concerned about gaming and social isolation as well.
Parents in Kerry, some things that we're seeing reoccurring. So parents are feeling very overwhelmed. Many don't know how to set safety controls on phones or gaming platforms, and they don't feel confident with technology themselves. I suppose they're worried about what young people are seeing online. So, for example, you know, challenges in social media and their young person reenacting those. Photos and videos being shared in groups. And I suppose parents just want somewhere to get clear information. And I suppose that's what Connect Safely provides. So we're delighted, you know, that staff in Kerry will be trained in Connect Safely. So we'll be able to provide that support to parents, schools, community groups, or anybody else that wants to link in with us.
And while parents worry from the outside, young people are living with it from the inside.
We have a youth advocacy group. So that's a group of young people that meets every month, and we discuss current and emerging issues in relation to online safety and their online experiences across the country. The big issues for them at the moment are cyberbullying, because it's 24/7. They also talk as well about the risks of AI at the moment, which is becoming so prevalent in their lives as well. So some of the young people are kind of worried actually about, you know, the overuse of AI, because it reduced their kind of critical thinking skills, their creativity and imagination kind of skills too. And also as well about being sucked into misinformation and disinformation.
You know, cyberbullying, again, is a very big one, as Anthony has mentioned. And I suppose what we are seeing is a lot of young people are feeling pressured from group chats. They feel pressured to have to join in. They feel pressured by, I suppose, being under the camera all the time, people taking videos or photos of them and sharing them on social media. So I suppose we do see that there's a lot of work to be done around, you know, informing young people about consent when recording or sharing images. And I suppose the emotional and legal consequences of sharing images, they would be major worries. And I suppose for young people, again, it's the safety of online chatting with people that they don't know. That seems to be a recurring one where we would see young people online gaming, chatting with people, and we'd ask who they are. They'd say they're my friends. And then after a conversation, we'd realize that they don't know who they are. So that's another thing that keeps reoccurring.
What practical steps can parents take if they're worried about their child's online life?
Parental controls. Parents and Guardians are the best parental control app because you're building the relationship with the young person and having those regular check-ins, open conversations. So the first steps would be the kind of regular check-ins with parents, kind of ask them, you know, what's the name of the game they're playing at the moment? What age is that rating of the game? Do you know everyone that's on your follower list or who's in your Snapchat group as well too? And have you met them in real life? And thinking as well about, like, you know, what are the messages that's coming up on your For You feed on TikTok every day? Are they positive? Do they have some kind of toxic meaning to them as well? Is there misinformation, disinformation? So it's for young people and kind of parents to kind of bring in those kind of critical thinking skills too as well and kind of staying safe.
There are organisations working to support young people and families nationwide, but I wanted to find out about the support and services available here in Kerry. So I asked Fiona, what help is there?
In Kerry, Fróga provide a range of supports for young people. We have the West Seabury UBU project, which involves targeted youth work with young people aged 10 to 24. So we support young people who are not in employment, education or training, young people who are experiencing rural isolation, need support around building confidence, mental health and relationships. And we do this through non-formal education. So through individual support, group work, after school programs. We also run an integration project supporting migrant young people and their families to connect with their community. We have two club development officers who help communities to set up volunteer-led clubs, so special interest clubs or youth clubs. We have a Big Brother, Big Sister mentoring program as well.
Yeah, I suppose it's really great that Fróga is there because for a lot of teenagers, it's easy to get lost. And you're doing something really great to help them not feel that way and to fit in with people who feel the same. So it's really great. Thank you. We've heard how online life is shaping young people's experiences, from cyberbullying and group chat pressures to the challenges of misinformation and AI. Youth workers are helping young people and families navigate it more safely. But what does the wider mental health picture for young people in Ireland look like? To find out this, I ask Rachel Traynor from the National Youth Council of Ireland.
There's growing awareness among young people about the importance of supporting their mental health. What we're coming across is the most common mental health condition that people are talking about and young people are saying they have is dealing with anxiety. A lot of young people are speaking about their anxiety and a lot of young people are getting diagnosed with generalised anxiety disorders.
What key challenges are emerging in your work with young people?
The impact that social media and digital is having on their health, because young people are so reliant on their phones, and there's a lot of positive that comes with having social media and having the phones as well. But if you lack the ability to critically think, or if you are really low in self-esteem or self-confidence and you're engaging with people who might just be not that nice to you online, it will have an impact on you mentally as well.
Where do you see the biggest gaps in support for young people, particularly during key transitions?
trying to really open up spaces for young people in their communities that allows them to interact. So having spaces like the youth work organizations, for example, are a great example. So having a space like that within a community where young people can go, and the youth work organizations are also a great place that they're acting as holding. So obviously mental health services, like we hear about it all the time, there's really long waiting lists. It's really hard for young people to get access to them. The youth work service will act as a holding space. So it's a space where that young person can continue to engage in, continue to go to while they are waiting on the CAMHS appointment or whatever appointment it is. So trying to invest a lot more in those spaces will just mean that young people have more access to things within their community for mental health.
Understanding the challenges is one thing, but knowing what helps is just as important.
If you're working with young people, it's early intervention that you can intervene early to try and put supports in place so a young person can flourish, can grow, can be themselves, can become really resilient, that if they're met with a challenge, they have key skills within themselves that they know how to overcome it. But having the toolkit within yourself that you're resilient, that you know what to do, how to overcome these challenges, so that when you transition from being a young person into adolescence, into early adulthood, that you have these key skills as well. So it's important for the young person to flourish.
What policy changes are most needed to better support young people's mental health?
Just investment in services, investment in youth work organisations. It's a space where they can explore who exactly they are. It's a space that'll support their mental health, basically. So more investments to try and keep those services open for longer, to have more workers in them that they can support young people, to maybe have mental health services within it so that there's not an over-reliance on the CAM services or services within a clinical setting, and that they have relationships with the adults within it, so that if they ever have questions or if they ever have concerns about their mental health, they feel comfortable about opening up. And then if it does transpire that they do need that more professional help, that the CAMHS is available within them, or there is services within the community that they can easily access, that there's no waiting list.
Over the past two episodes, we've explored what it means to grow up in a world shaped by screens, the pressure, the comparison, and the impact this can have on young people's mental health. But digital life is also where young people learn, create, and share their voices. In the next episode of Voices of the Future, Kian O'Gorman explores the media landscape young people are growing up in today, and how to navigate it as both a user and a creator. So stay with us. There's a lot more to come on Voices of the Future in Kerry.
Voices of the Future in Kerry. The youth of today, shaping tomorrow.
Yeah, another wonderful episode, and that's episode 6 of Voices of the Future in Kerry, and it continued the conversation around young people and mental health, and Seana O'Sullivan explored the impact of online life and the supports helping young people and how they navigate it today, and Seana did a great job with that, as she did with the last episode we heard last week as well. And stay tuned to Radio Kerry for more Voices of the Future. And after the break, we're going to hear another episode in this wonderful new series by the Radio Kerry, Kerry College, broadcasting students, Words Matter, and we're going to hear another episode of that after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals, available in store.
Yeah, get in touch with us, 066-712-3666. Derval, let's take your calls. You can text the WhatsApp on 083-300-3300. And someone has got in touch with us and sent me a photo of a blue butterfly on a dandelion, and I was saying, the text said a good omen. And I was saying, what, is that a good omen? And as always, the ever knowledgeable Abigail Bernard has sent me a message saying a blue butterfly universally symbolises transformation, hope and joy because of its striking and relatively rare colour. It is also widely seen as a sign of good luck, new beginnings and spiritual protection. So there you go now. Maybe it's a good omen for the game today, the blue butterfly that was spotted in the kingdom. Now, Words Matter is a new series produced by the Kerry College Radio, Kerry Students of Journalism, Podcasting and Radio, exploring the power of words, the ones that shape us, stay with us, hurt us, or help define who we are. And in this episode, entitled Before Silence Does, it's produced by Svitlana Holovan, and it's set on a mission to the moon. The drama follows an astronaut alone in space where the silence forces him to confront the words he said and the ones he never said before it was too late.
Words Matter on Radio Kerry. Your words, your voices, every day.
News Chapter 6.
Transmission active. Lunar course stable. Ground control handing over to astronaut O'Shea.
Mission Day 4. System stable. Course confirmed. Earth in the window. Small now. Ireland. Impossible to see. Still, I know where it is. Nobody prepares you for the silence. Not the silence outside. The silence inside you. The kind that leaves room for everything you avoided. You train for impact. For failure. For fear. But no one trains you for memory. Stupid. My brother dropped a box helping me move. I said it as a joke, but it hurts him. He laughed. I didn't know laughter could hide hurt. Stay. My wife wanted to hear that word, but I didn't say it. She stood at the door, bag packed, waiting for one word. I gave her silence. Later, my son brought me a drawing. Me on a rocket. Him waving below. I said, later. I choose later instead of him. There are words worse than cruelty. Later is one of them. Sorry. Small word. Heavy as planets. I should have said sorry, but I never found the right moment. Home. I thought it was a place. Turns out, it was people I left behind. Stupid. Stay. Later. Sorry. Home. Travel far enough, and words stop sounding small. This was never a return mission. Maybe that's why I volunteered. Because leaving was easier than apologizing. My word, listen. Maybe that's all people wanted. Not fixing, not wisdom, not answers. Just to be heard. Earth is smaller now. Funny thing. You only understand home when it begins to disappear. If anyone ever hears this, don't wait. Call them. Say it. Before silence does.
News Chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles and the doctrines of Christ, let us go on and...
Yeah, that is another episode of Words Matter, and I hope you enjoyed that. And that, of course, was produced by Svitlana Holovan, and it was narrated by John Davis there as well. And of course, we heard from John earlier, and a wonderfully produced piece. And we will be hearing more of those over the coming days as well on Radio Kerry. So I hope you enjoyed that. Now we're going to take a break, and after that, we're going to be hearing all about this wonderful initiative, the Dingle Way Challenge.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer ready meals available.
066-712-3666. Dervis, take your calls. You can text the WhatsApp 083-300-3300. Now, the Dingle Way Challenge is run by St. Pat's GA Club in Blenheim, and it's back again for its 11th year, and it has become a really special and unique event over time. And there's a real genuine reason why it started as well, which we'll be finding out about now. I'm delighted to say, joining us in studio, we have Mike Moriarty, who is a juvenile chairperson at the club and has taken part in the challenge many times. We also have Marie Fitzgibbon, who is the chairperson of the club and one of the people behind the Dingle Way and organising that goes into it. You're both very welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
So, Marie, we'll start with yourself. I mentioned it had a real genuine reason for starting. Go back to then. It was 2009, was it, when it started?
Yeah, Joe, it was 2009 when it started. There were members of our club, the Sayers family, Owen, Liam and Eamon. Their cousin, Stuart Mangan, was a rugby player, and he was paralysed when he was severely injured, his spine, in a rugby tackle. So the club wanted to come together and the community, and what could they do to help fundraise for him. So they came up with the idea of the Dingle Way Challenge, where you would go along the route of the Dingle Peninsula. So that started in May 2009, but unfortunately poor Stuart had passed away in 2009, and it was the wishes of the family that the funds would kind of go back to the community of Blenheim. And since then, we have continued with the Dingle Way Challenge, and it has been a great success from there.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, in recent years as well, you know, people are mad into their fitness now and the outdoors, and, like, you know, before, lads would be going away for maybe boozy weekends, and now it's actually going away for triathlons or, you know, different things like that. So you're really kind of riding that wave as well, I'd imagine.
Absolutely, and even like that, all the wellness and the idea of, you know, being out and about in the fresh air and seeing the scenery and the views and the whole lot, and then the people just get talking and chatting as they're going along the route. And some people say it's like a therapy session where you be chatting and talk all your problems, and you just get away from the busyness of the day, of your own day, and you just switch off and you meet different people and you can talk about things and you might never see them again.
Yeah,
and it's very easy to do.
Yeah. Mike, yeah, it sounds like it's we talk about the actual route and the logistics of what's involved there, so give us an insight into that.
Yeah, it's a busy day for sure. I suppose it started already, the preparation. On Saturday before that, all our volunteers will be down setting up the pitch, the marquee, etc. Johnny and Derek will be out the day before. They'll have the signs up along the route, make sure no one gets lost. We'll have all our stewards in place. Food stops along the way, all be prepared and ready. For those taking part in the event itself, it's an early start for sure. Registration, if you're doing the ultra challenge, which is 46 kilometres. We will be down in the club from 5 a.m. to 5:30. So you'll register there. You'll drop your bags with us. We'll take them on to the next stop waiting for you. And the bus leaves at 5:40. So that's an early start for people doing the ultra. And then for people doing the standard route, they will come to the St. Pat's pitch for registration at 6:45 to 7:15, and their bus will leave at 7:30. So it's definitely an early start. It's you want to be up and ready for it, have the porridge. But it's a fantastic day. It's like I was saying, we've so many solo hikers that come as well. We've so many walking groups that come. So this year's trail, we'll be bussing everybody back to Glenahoo. So it'll be from Glenahoo to Aunascall will be stage one, we'll say.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. It's Machinabeau Trail. The scenery it's unrivaled, really. Like, yeah, you know, it's a fantastic walk. There's a bit of a hike to it too. And then after that, then you'll come into Aunascall, and they'll have their breakfast stop, where we'll have so many volunteers there feeding them up, giving them water. There'll be first aid. There'll be everything that they'll need there, we'll say. And then the next is on a call to camp, which is approximately 17 kilometres. And there's another stop in camp. And following that, then you will walk the rest of it over from camp, over through past Corrine Church and into the grounds of St. Pat's. And you'll have a medal presentation, barbecue. We'll have music and we'll stay there till 10 o'clock at night with a party. So it's a great day out.
Yeah, it's amazing. Can people do like certain sections of it or do they
you can.
Yeah, how's it broken up? So
you can decide to do it all.
Yeah.
Or you can, some people will love to do the ultra for the Machinaboe Trail. If they decide once they get in town of Scall, you know, I'm tired or I have to go somewhere else, there's no problem. We have buses there. We'll bus them back to the start, back to St. Pat's where they can get their car. Same in camp, if anyone wants to finish up in camp, absolutely no problem. There'll be a lot of people just doing the standard route and we'll bus them to Onascaul and they'll walk back. But at any stage, any of the stops, if anybody wants to, for any reason, we have transport there to bring them safely back to the start line.
Yeah, and so like it's for walkers or real athletes, so it's catering for everyone in all ages as well?
Absolutely. We have people of all ages and fitness abilities, you know. All I'd say is know your own capabilities, like, you know. But it's not a race, just to stress it, it's not a race. So it's at your leisure, within reason. You need to keep a certain pace up to finish it. But no, people of all abilities will do it. We have, like I said, we have solo hikers. We have a lot of people coming from various walking groups from all over Ireland, you know, that repeat, come back every year, like, you know. So it's for everyone, absolutely for everyone.
And will there be a winner of the Ultra Marathon, though, if we know that side of it?
Well,
the no.
They're all winners for taking part. They're absolutely
there's no
all
winners,
winners,
but there are a
and
few
there's
heroes.
A medal for everyone,
there
yeah.
There are a few heroes, all right, that like to run it. And we love to see them there as well, you know.
Yeah, very good.
But a medal for everyone.
Yeah. Marie, like, you know, it just sounds the logistics of this, like just from listening to Mike talk about it, there's a lot that goes into this. So, like, is it, are you just roping the whole club to this? Or how does
do
it work?
You know what, we're very lucky that even when we change the route every year, we're so lucky that we have the different GA clubs, the communities, Lisbol, Onascaul, Dingle, they give their community halls to us, you know, they make available for us to have the breakfast stops at different places.
That's brilliant, yeah.
And like that, within our own community, we're lucky to have, like, at 5 o'clock in the morning, we have the local John Keane gives us his kitchen for cooking up the breakfast. Then you have the just everybody pulling in together, and it's great for the club itself, you know, for everybody. There's great banter and chat within the guys, the senior football team, they'll be doing the stewarding. Then you'd have the younger people and they're watching them do that, you know. So
yeah,
for years, those that have been stewarding years ago now come down to enjoy the barbecue and stuff afterwards, yeah. And then there'll be a sing song and there'll be something will start up down there, you know. So it's very good.
That sounds like, you know, down where I am now, so the Carrasveen Kelly Music Fest, they always begin, it's like another Christmas, people call it. The families come back and they kind of meet up again.
Yeah.
And say they mightn't even come home at Christmas, but they'll come over the August weekend. It sounds something similar.
It is. And it is lovely. Like, you know, I still have my parents very involved in helping out and doing anything that needs to be done. And then, like that, Mike would have his father down there. And it's just lovely for them to meet because they don't meet as often. You know, there's not places like that. No, we do. We look forward to it, but it's an exhausting day.
Yeah, I could imagine.
And we look forward to having a break afterwards. And it's the next day then is the fun part, where to take down the marquee and if the weather is bad, we're trying to take it down that evening. But look, it's all worth it. It's good fun. And it comes around very fast. And
what will the funds go towards then?
That's the thing. It's for, it goes back into the development of the club. And this year we're going to do the community walkway around the pitch, and we want to do pitch development. So like that, a lot, you know, they're not just being a GA club anymore. You know, the GA clubs are being used for the community walkways and bringing people back into a safe environment where they can walk safely.
They're a huge success, aren't they?
They are. And like that, you know, we have within our group, in our community, we have the Rehab Blenerville, the Blenerville Resource Centre. They're looking forward to be able to use it as well, you know, that it's safe, enclosed, and it'll help them.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, it is lovely to have the canal and all of that to walk on, but a community walkway in a pitch is safe and secure, you know. So we're looking forward to that being done.
Yeah. Your juvenile chairperson, Mike, what are the numbers like underage-wise?
Yeah. I suppose we would be one of the smaller clubs in the in Tralee Town, but we'd have a fantastic club out there. We're always, as always, looking for new members to join us. But we have boys and girls out at every age group competing very well. You know, we've the best of coaches, the best of facilities. You know, so obviously always trying to grow it. Always people, everyone's welcome out to Blenheimville to play a bit of football or just once they're playing team sports.
Yeah,
is the main thing for kids, I think.
Yeah.
I think this day and age, you know. But even just as we mentioned there, and the barbecue and whatnot, and the after it, we're actually, we have a juvenile walk as well.
Yeah.
It's generally our own academy, but it's open to anyone that wants to come along as well, you know. So that'll start later in the afternoon. They'll get collected from the pitch and we'll bus them back to Curraghin Church and they'll walk back.
Okay.
And it's just a big family day. So when you're the juvenile academy, that all feeds into it.
Okay.
You know, we see a lot of grandparents down and we see a lot of new kids coming in. So it's great. But yeah, look, things are good out in St. Pat's Juvenile Academy. Of course we want more numbers like any club. Yeah. I suppose we're
But you're doing your bit. You have three of them, don't
well,
you?
Well, I can't do any more, Joe, I'm afraid. That's my story. But yeah, look, they do enough. They kick enough ball down there. So they'll put as many teams as possible. But.
Brilliant. Stay with us. I want to know your own story as well, how you got involved in the club. And also, we'll be talking a little more about the Dingle Way Challenge, which is taking place on the 31st of May. And it's all for St. Pat's GAA Club. We'll take a break with more after these.
Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.
Yeah, Devilers, take your calls on 066-712-3666. You can text the WhatsApp on 083-300-3300. We're talking about the Dingle Way Challenge run by St. Pat's GAA Club in Blenheimville, and it's on the 31st of May. In studio, we have Marie Fitzgibbon, who is the chairperson of the club, and she's one of the people behind the Dingle Way and the organising that goes into it, as is Mike Moriarty, who was juvenile chairperson of the club and has taken part in the challenge many times. And Mike, how did you find the challenge yourself, actually? I never asked you.
Well, I'm not the fittest individual, I suppose, but no, it's a great day out. It's a fantastic day out. Like, you've met so many people along the way, and it surprised you to repeat how many of them are back every year, you know. So, no, great camaraderie. You never spend the day with the same people. You'll pick up a group and you'll drop off the group, or you'll go ahead of the group and you'll pick the next one and you'll meet people you haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah. You know? Have you always been involved in St. Pat's from a young lad? As a young fella, we played there.
I moved away when I was 17. I only came back 6 years ago. So I was away. I was MIA for a bit of it, you know.
Yeah.
But look, since we came back, we're stuck in everything, really, you know, which is great.
Yeah. It's a real anchor to the community, though, isn't it?
It is. Look, everything centres around it. And St. Pat's isn't unique to that. Like, that's every GAA club. And you can't stress how important a GAA club is to any region, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's the heartbeat of everything. Everything comes through it. The facilities are used by, be it the Cub Scouts or the guides or the ICAs or whatever, or the men's sheds, whatever. It all comes through the GAA, like, you know.
Yeah.
So, can't understate it enough, like, you know, how valuable a GAA club is in a community, like, you know.
But is just your generation, was your father involved in the club? Like, does it go back? Or?
He wouldn't have been. My father is a proud Maharees man.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so he is. But no, he wasn't involved in the club himself, no. I suppose when I came back 6 years ago, a chance meeting with the famous Joe Costello got me roped in. So, no, delighted to be here, involved with the under-8s and the under-12s as well. And we just help out whenever we can. But I will say, we have, for such a small club, I suppose we're kind of a very rural club in a somewhat urban setting, like, you know.
Yeah.
So the values are great out there, you know. And the volunteers are great. The coaches are great. We have 4 and 5 coaches to every age group. I know some clubs struggle for volunteers and stuff, but I think we're very lucky in that regard, you know.
Yeah, something that you have to remind me of now, Marie, you said this earlier about the other GAA clubs helping you, kind of, you know, giving the facilities or whatever. And when Dingle won the All-Ireland, they got a great welcome coming across the Blenheimville Bridge there, didn't they?
A mighty welcome. They were absolutely delighted with it, and we were delighted to be able to facilitate that as well. And the crowd that came out, it was unbelievable. And it was just, there was a great atmosphere in wanting to get it set up to do the bonfire and just to welcome by coming over the bridge, you're welcoming into the West. And Dingle were very appreciative of that as well. And it goes, look, it's reciprocated, you know, by getting the halls and stuff for the that. It's nice to do a good turn in return as well.
And your own story, how did you get involved in the club?
My mum and dad were involved in the club. My dad would have been quite involved in fundraising aspect of the club and anything that was to be done down there. My mum was involved in community games, and so not that I played much football myself, but it was more the community games, and our local community games uses the GAA field there, so I'm still involved in community games as well as the GAA part. But I love I just love being always being parts of a community. And just,
what do you love about it?
I love seeing the kids when they when they achieve things, or when we do things for them. You just love to see the joy in what they get, and I just feel by volunteering and doing things, you know, you get it back.
Yeah.
You know, I get a huge thrill seeing them all, whether they're losing or whether they win, and then like that, it's great to have a community when if something goes wrong, or you know, it's great to have somebody to ring or call and have your back.
Yeah,
for anything.
Yeah, like Mike, I mentioned the logistics and all the volunteers and everyone else, but I'd say there's a lot of people you have to kind of thank, but you can't be going naming everyone because you'll be here all day.
There are a few to go back over the years, yeah, but look, it's just, it's incredible. Like, you know, they say it takes a village. Well, this takes a village and more, you know, so it's... like Marie said, our members of our senior team, they'll be stewarding. Johnny and Derek will be out the day before, putting up the signs, all our volunteers and all the food stops along the way. A massive thank you to our sponsors. We love putting on this event every year, and the people that participate in it love it. We do it for a reason, as you said. This year we want to do the pitch development and all that, but it doesn't happen without sponsors. It just doesn't. Mm. And we're extremely grateful to all our local sponsors that do get behind us every year. It's hard going back to them every year, the same people, but they're just very good, very kind to us. We've a lot of sponsors from up the country as well. Obviously, anyone wants to sponsor the event, get in touch with us. But for what we have at the moment, we're absolutely delighted.
Yeah, brilliant. And if people want more information, where do they go, Marie, if they want to find out more about the Dingle Way Challenge?
Yeah, we have a website, thedinglewaychallenge.ie. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and if you want to look at the local St. Pat's GA website as well, we have that. And this is it is our main fundraiser of the year, you know, but we also have our local lotto, which is a weekly lotto, and at the moment it's up at 8,000.
Oh, so that's a good chunk of change.
It'd be great if we could hold on to it for another while, but it's on dangerous ground and dangerous territory of being won. And and it's great then when we know when it is won, it is somebody in the locality always, and that's great as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, or cared enough to buy a ticket for the club. Yeah.
You know, so we're very appreciative of people that do the lotto and continue to do the lotto for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I wish you best of luck and continued success with the Dingle Way Challenge, which is on May 31st. And the website again?
Dinglewaychallenge.ie.
Very easy, dinglewaychallenge.ie. Mike Moriarty and Marie Fitzgibbon, thanks a million for coming in and telling us all about it.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah, so that's something to mark in the diary there for the June Bank holiday weekend. And I think the weather is changing, that it could be nice. Just nice, sunny, bit cool. We don't want it too hot, and that'll be perfect for the Dingle Way Challenge. That's all we have time for on the programme this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Dervla took your calls. Pat Kelly is on the way. And remember, we have live coverage of the Donegal Kerry game. And Tim and Ambrose will be bringing you that. So make sure to stay tuned for that. Frank Lewis is on next Saturday. And I'll be back the Saturday after. And with our In Focus photography slot with Dominic Walsh. And remember, the theme is summertime in Kerry. So you can email your photos to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. Maybe there'll be photos from the Dingle Way Challenge being sent in to us. Wouldn't that be nice? But I'll talk to you again Saturday, 2 weeks. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.